So are you guys in 4-H? Have you been in a long time?
8 years.
8 years? So you can just stand right up and say the pledge from memory? I used to could. Not anymore. It's just like I used to ride bike a lot. Now I get exhausted just taking my bike out of the garage. But I didn't want to be in 4-H, but my parents made me. It was not. That's.
Look at me.
Does that sound familiar? But yeah, and I had some good experiences. I got to show calves, got to show pigs, learned how to cheat, you know, because you're supposed to take one litter of pigs, you know, and raise them. Nobody does that. They go to their dad's feedlot and pull the best pigs out of there, and that's what they show. I did get reserve grand champion 1 year of that. But it was kind of interesting. And then there was the horse shows. We did Western Pleasure. Do you do that too? You don't mess with horses?
We have horses. We like ride them for fun, but we don't show them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had this quarter horse. His name was Popcorn Cody. He had the temperament of popcorn. We named that because he liked popcorn, but he would just pop whenever, you know. And I got to show him in what they call the Western Pleasure class. I don't know if they still do that. But I thought I was doing pretty good. And, you know, they have this lineup at the end of the show where they put the four winners, the four highest scores. And I was sure that they said my name, but they didn't. So I went up there looking just as stupid as I possibly could on my horse, thinking I was worthy of something that I wasn't, thinking I deserved. And this is how I'm segued into the book of Revelation today. The fact is we don't deserve anything. And we don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve life. I didn't deserve a trophy for showing my horse because I was just doing a really bad job of showing my horse. But that's kind of the way it is. The point of the book of Revelation is that everything is a gift from God. And we have to understand that. My favorite part of the Yellowstone series was when Rip was talking to this little boy, Carter, who's in all kinds of trouble. And he says, just remember, you don't deserve it. None of us deserves anything. And they could have ended that show much better than they did, but that's something that has stuck with me. You know, lots of things happen that we just simply don't deserve, and sometimes we feel like we have to qualify for things. I'm showing off here a little bit, but this is Jamie. They spelled the name wrong. And she's running in Holland these days, trying to raise money to drill wells in Mozambique, of all things. And it's interesting the qualifications that she's had to go through, you know. We had to take her to a marathon in Petoskey or something, and if she ran that under a certain time, she qualified for Boston. And she's run Boston and Chicago. She's running Berlin this fall, and she's got an agenda of all that stuff. But the thing is that she had to qualify, and that qualification is kind of a scary process to go through. Her worst time in a marathon is better than my best time, so I don't like her anymore. But that's kind of how that went. We feel like we have rights to run, you know, like anybody should be allowed to run a marathon, but that's not the case. You have to have proven that you can do it under a certain amount of time, and that's, I suppose, just their rules. We have in our culture a kind of a definition of certain rights that we have, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's right in the preamble of the Declaration of Independence, and it's kind of a cool thing. It's written mostly by Thomas Jefferson, and he said that these rights are given to us. They're endowed by our Creator, that God gave you life. You did nothing to earn it, and that is so true. You know, we're all here because of a gift from somebody else. Came home to me with, I like this picture, it always makes me smile. But, you know, holding this little girl, she's 5 months old, she can't feed herself yet. She can't sit, she can't change her own diapers, I wish she could. you know, she's completely dependent on adults to take care of her. She wouldn't survive. And they're even more dependent when they're first born. You know, and that's true for all of us. None of us did anything to come into this world. And we would not survive if we weren't taken care of. Also, what little Quinn can contribute to this world is her smile. You know, life is a gift. And eternal life is an even greater gift. Many people, however, feel like they are worthy of heaven and its privileges. And that is a major misconception. If you take the Bible seriously at all, that conception has to go. So we're going to look at Revelation chapter 5. Now, I pointed out that the slides say chapter 10. That's a mistake. It's supposed to be chapter 5. I proofread these, and Diane proofreads them. She proofread it last, so it's her fault. Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. So the scroll's in the right hand of God on the throne, and it has seven seals on it. People have written books about those seven seals and how significant that is. All's what that means. In apocalyptic literature, you see the number seven, it means complete. That's all that it means. Doesn't mean anything more than that. And then we see a strong angel, which, you know, means that there's angels that aren't as strong, which is just kind of interesting. And he says, "Who is worthy to break the seals?" And no one. No one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. And that reflects the Jewish view of Sheol. They believe that deceased people were living in underground territories. The Greeks had the same thing with Hades. It's just a cultural thing of that day. You know, and God's revelation to us is usually corrupted by our own cultural misconceptions. That's just a fact. That's how we do things. All right, so it goes on. "Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Look, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He's worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals.'" The lion of Judah has won the victory. The victory over the powers of death, the powers of evil. Jesus surrendered himself. You know, he let the religious organization of the day join with the government, and he surrendered to them. They crucified him. They took his life, but God gave it back. So he is worthy. "Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold Spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne." So here's this lamb that looks like it's been slaughtered. But it's not literally a lamb, of course. You know it's referring to Jesus. And his complete sevenfold Spirit sent into every corner of the earth. So he has the Holy Spirit in him. And he took the scroll from God's hand. It goes, "And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people." See, they had the, well, this thing with a harp, I realize that's symbolic, but, you know, we're missing Terry Stewart. We had his funeral this week, and I think, no, it's not harps. It's at least Stratocasters. You know, it has to be something like that. But the point, again, is the desire to worship, the desire to do that. the golden bowls of incense. Incense always represents prayers to the first generation of Christians. So going to a Catholic church or an Orthodox church today, you quite often can smell the incense burning. They still do it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just something we don't do. All right, and then it goes on. And they sang a new song with these words. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and nation and language and people. Ransomed. This is an important concept here. One that I find, those of us who've been raised Reformed, those of you who've been raised Catholic, those of you who've been raised whatever, Reformed people have been taught the Heidelberg Catechism. And in the Heidelberg Catechism, it talks about how God is angry with you, and he's got to take it out on somebody. So he beat Jesus up in your place. Now, I think that's a little crazy. You know, I've taken parenting classes. I've taught parenting classes. You know what happens if dad has anger management problems? He has to get over it. But God could beat somebody else up in our place, and we call that orthodox teaching. That is not a fact. Jesus offered himself as a ransom for us. Just like we're caught in a trap. And he came along and offered himself as a sacrifice so that the trap door could be opened and we could be set free. I can't get that through people's heads, but I've spent a lifetime trying to convince people that no, God is not an abusive father. You know, he doesn't work that way. Jesus came and offered himself as a ransom. He did it willingly. But if I get started on that, we'll be here another hour. So we'll just go on to the next verse here. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. A kingdom of priests. That's what we are, helping people connect with God. Our job is to invite and encourage people to follow Jesus. And then I looked again and heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. And just think of that, thousands and millions of angels. That's a lot of angels. And that's just the tip of it. Remember, apocalyptic literature, apocalypse means to lift the veil. John was seeing this. It was his peek into heaven. That's a lot of angels. I can't imagine how many there must have been. And they sang in a mighty chorus, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The Lamb who was slaughtered is worthy. I am not. And you are not. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and they sang, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. He sets us free from the curse of the devil. And the four living beings said, amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. The Lamb was worthy. Humility is a necessary ingredient for salvation. It's important that we know who we are before God. We have to know that we don't deserve life. God didn't have to create us. He didn't have to give you a functioning brain. He didn't have to give you functioning lungs. He doesn't owe you anything. He just gives it. You don't deserve that. But he gave it to you anyway. And you don't deserve salvation. It's a gift. You can't possibly earn it. So you got it way better than you deserve. All of us do. So let's live in gratitude. I think that gratitude is the opposite of negative thinking. I don't think positive thinking works. It's just my experience. I have lots of experience now. But you know, I can almost throw up every time my wife puts channel 13 on the television. 13 is on your side. And they're so positive all the time. And it just drives me batty. They can be positive talking about a flood. And I'm thinking, no, that's fake. The real antidote to negative thinking is gratitude. And we can truly have a grateful attitude in light of what Jesus has done for us. I'm having terrible luck with my basement these days. Get water in it. You can see the picture on the right, that nice hole in that pipe. That's what the landscapers did. I will give them you their reference after the service if you want it. You know, lots of money, and my basement got flooded. Now, I've been pouting about that because got it fixed, and then it sprung a leak again. And then with the 3/4 of an inch of rain last night, I got water in it again this morning. That carpet stinks. I've been bellyaching about that and the incompetent landscapers I had hired. The sprinklers do spring a leak every once in a while. Fix it, dries it up, happens again. I kept track of what I spent cleaning it up and sent a bill to the landscapers, but I haven't heard back from them, strangely. But then I thought, you know, I need to look at this differently. I live in a house that's paid for. I'm healthy enough to clean it up. I do have it better than I deserve. I didn't decide to be born. I don't deserve life. I don't deserve salvation. But the Lamb is worthy, and He will give me the salvation if I trust Him. So who is worthy? Jesus the Lamb is. And He shares His worthiness with us. So let's let Him. Choose Him. He's the only one that can give you salvation. So choose Him, and as Hayden is doing, report for duty. So that's what we're here for. So as an example, or as a way of living in gratitude, let's just do that. Let's report for duty. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we stand in awe of the gifts that You give us. And we realize that none of us deserves anything, and yet You so generously provide. So thank You. And thank You for the tremendous gift of salvation. We know it was at quite a price. Amen.